The Enchanting World of Hinge and Bracket.
A lady fair of lineage high was loved by an ape in the days gone by. The maid was made to test the sun. The ape was the most unsightly one. The ape was the most unsightly one. So it would not do. His scheme fell through. For the maid with his love to fall was shaped. His friends much cherished and his words to error. And he never did apology and made his scheme. A picture of a disconcerting ape. In the social scale, he shaved his bristles and he docked his tail. He grew mustachio and took his tub and paid a guinea to a toilet club. But it would not do. The scheme fell through. For the maid was beauty's fair, his queen, with golden dresses like a real princess. And for the ape, despite his razor keen, was the atheist ape that ever was seen. He bought white ties and he bought dress suits. He crammed his feet into bright tight boots. And started life on a brand new plan. He christened himself Darwinian Man. He christened himself Darwinian Man. But it would not do. The scheme fell through. For the maid who fell from the monkey crate. For the radiant maid with a rainbow seat. For the radiant man who will be his.
Brimley, do you think that song will be suitable for the end of term concert?
Oh, infinitely so, Hilda. The echoing emotions evoke a sense of undulating rhythm in the very depths of my turquoise fantasies.
Yes. Evadne will attack the piano tune.
Perhaps we should have Miss Trimley tuned, dear.
Rosewood pianoforte, passive in its silence, yet snarling like the ubiquitous glowworm when touched upon its strong white teeth. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle!
Yes. I think I know what you mean. I think.
Well, dear ladies, I fear I have to leave you. Anon, friends, anon. I must away to my little nest.
Yeah. All right, dear, but mind you don't get broody. And thank you once again, Miss Trimley, for bringing us that bottle of carrot and turnip wine.
Oh, my pleasure, Evadne. I'm sure you will enjoy it if you let it stand for a time.
Oh, don't worry, we shall certainly let it stand a long, long time.
Well, I'll see myself out. Farewell, good people. Hippity-hop.
Goodbye, Miss Trimley.
Goodbye, dear.
Well, there she goes. A lovely command of the English language. Only wish I knew what she was talking about. Now then, dear, what plans have you made for today?
Well, actually, Hilda, I'd like to do a spot of writing.
Oh, I see. So you won't be going down to the shops?
No, dear. I'd like to do some writing.
I see. Who are you writing to, dear?
Nobody, Hilda.
But you must be writing to somebody, dear. Come on, who is it?
It doesn't matter, Hilda. I'll tell you, all in good time.
Oh, right. Is it your mother?
It's what, my mother?
No, it can't be. You wrote to her last week.
Last Wednesday, actually.
I thought you did. Well, of course, it can't be that pen friend in Wagga Wagga, because you haven't written to her since you were 16. Well, she could have left Wagga Wagga by now. And of
Hilda,
course
will you stop it?
And it's too early for Santa Claus.
Hilda, it is something rather personal. Do you understand?
Yes, dear, yes, yes, of course I do. So you're not going to tell me?
Eventually, when I'm satisfied that the time is right.
I see. You mean like in a couple of minutes?
Hilda, it is quite obvious that I shall get no peace until you know the full story, the ins and outs, the type of paper I'm writing on, even the colour of ink I'm using.
Yes, I think that's a fair assessment, dear.
Well, then you'll have to wait.
Oh, Evan, now, I wish you wouldn't behave so childishly.
I am not behaving childishly, Hilda Brackett.
Of course you are. Of course, I mean, it doesn't matter to me who you're writing to. I'm not bothered, dear. I'm not bothered in the slightest.
Then why are we having this argument?
Because I want to know.
You're not getting to know, because as soon as I tell you what I'm doing, you'll just laugh and make fun of me.
Evadne, when have I ever made fun of you?
Well, this morning, not yet. But mark my words, as soon as you know, you will laugh.
I shan't laugh, Evadne, honestly, I promise you. Guide's honour.
You weren't in the guides.
No, but I've got my cycling proficiency, that. Evadne, there is no way I shall laugh.
All right, then, I'll tell you. I'm writing a play.
I told you not. I wasn't laughing at all, dear. I just got a tickle in my neck.
Very convenient.
So you're writing a play?
I am.
Do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's an excellent idea. Otherwise, I wouldn't be writing it.
I was only thinking of your unfortunate experience last year when you tried to write a pantomime.
And what was wrong with last year's pantomime?
Nothing, dear, nothing. It wasn't your fault that nobody wanted to be in it.
Lots of people wanted to be in it. It was just unfortunate that several of them caught the flu.
The entire cast caught the flu, dear.
Anyway, Hilda, a pantomime is a pantomime. And
yes.
A play is a play.
Yes.
I really do think that I have found my niche at last. I couldn't sleep last night at all. I had this wonderful idea for the plot.
Oh, so it's going to have a plot, is it, dear?
Well, of course it is, Hilda. All whodunits have a plot.
Oh, it's a whodunit, isn't it? Well, do you hear that, Milton? Your Auntie Evadne is going to be another Agatha Christie. Yes, yes, Milton. She could run for 25 years. Providing her knees don't lock. Yes, as I know, he's a pretty boy. Anyway, Evadne, what's your play called?
The Case of the Strangled Budgie.
I don't think that's funny at all, Evadne. In fact, I'm very hurt.
Well, then, you know how I feel, being ridiculed by you.
Yes, I'm sorry, dear. But you must admit, you do have these crazes. Anyway, let's not fall out. What's the title?
The Railway Station Murders.
Oh, a comedy. Are you hoping to put it on in the church hall?
Well, initially, I thought of forming a play reading group.
What a good idea. You mean to read plays?
Strangely enough, yes. I thought there must be one or two people in the village who aren't very good at learning lines, but who would welcome the opportunity of releasing their pent-up emotions in the form of play reading.
I've misjudged you, Evadne. And tell me, is there a part in your play that, well, how can I put it, that would suit my acting style?
There is indeed, Hilda.
Yes, I thought there would be. An important part, is it, would you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Good. What is it, dear?
The corpse.
I don't think that was very nice.
It's only a joke, Hilda.
Jokes like that aren't funny.
No, only when you say them.
That's not true. I would never deliberately say anything which I thought would hurt the feelings of a lifelong friend. I'm not laughing, Evadne.
All right, Hilda. I'm sorry. I apologize for suggesting, even in fun, that you would make an excellent corpse.
There you go again. Now stop it, dear. Stop it, please.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
Good. Now, what part in your play is really suitable for me?
Mrs. Amelia Hammond.
Ah, now that sounds more like me. What is she?
Her husband's an undertaker.
Evadne, I think I'll go and have a small sherry. I can feel my twinges coming on again.
Oh, dear, that sounds like more.
Oh, good. Well, at least I shall get a few kind words from her. Are you going to tell her about your play reading group, Evadne?
I suppose so. I presume she can read.
Oh, hello, dear.
Morning, Dinilda. Doctor.
Good morning, Maud.
I called at Mrs. Flavers. He's on my way. He said he had a dozen duck eggs for you.
That's right, dear.
So I told her I'd take them and bring them up.
Oh, thank you, Maud.
Only I wish I hadn't.
Why, dear?
I dropped them.
Well done, Maud.
And they broke.
Yes, well, they do, you know.
And where are they now, Maud?
In the bottom of Tom's sidecar. And they look lovely duck eggs, Daniel. The great big yolks they have.
But they're hardly any good stashed on the bottom of Tom's sidecar, Maud.
Unless he was going scrambling. Oh, I couldn't resist that one, dear.
You should have tried a little harder, dear.
I thought of scraping them up onto a plate. But Tom had been delivering some firewood, you see. And he hadn't brushed the bits out of his sack.
Yes, well, that was a kind thought, dear.
It wasn't at all. I always enjoy my omelette with half a tree in it.
He's doing well, is Tom, with his firewood business. I don't know where he gets all his wood from. Apparently, it's very scarce.
Yes, well, it doesn't grow on trees, does it?
Of course it does, Hilda.
It was a joke, dear. You'll have to start watching out for those now that you're a writer. Oh, we haven't told Maud, have we? Mm-hmm. Maud, dear. Doctor's writing a play.
It's not one of them sexy plays, is it?
No, don't be silly, Maud. Of course it isn't.
There were one on the telly last week. Disgusting it was.
How do you mean, dear?
Well, this woman and this man were in bed. You know. In bed, and they weren't married.
Well, probably they were only having a little afternoon nap.
Not likely. It were disgusting.
Well, why, Maud? What did they do?
I don't know. I shut me eyes. Arthur would have done too, but he says he'd better watch, so as when it's over, he can tell me when to open my eyes.
Yes. Always be the child of consideration, has Arthur. Mm.
Well, you've no need to worry, Maud. There's no sex in my plays.
But you could always do a rewrite for Arthur, couldn't you, dear?
What's it called, then?
The Railway Station Murders.
I live in a railway station.
Where do you think I got the idea from, Maud?
Who's your detective, then, dear?
Klaus Gerber, a German.
Really? I mean, you don't get many German detectives, do you? Well, unless you're in Germany.
I don't like Germans.
Oh, Maud.
You can't trust them.
Maud, really?
Shifty eyes they have.
Maud, you can't say things like that. People from all over the world have shifty eyes.
Not as shifty as Germans. Look at him on the telly. He has shifty eyes.
Oh, dear.
Charles Aznavour.
Maud, Charles Aznavour is Armenian.
Don't matter, he's a foreigner.
You know, Maud, I'm surprised you never worked for the United Nations.
Is that like the co-op?
Carry on, dear. You were saying your detective was Klaus Gerber.
Yes. He's on holiday over here, you see, touring round when he finds himself stranded on a lonely rural station with five other people and Seamus O'Shaughnessy, the station master.
This Seamus O'Shaughnessy character?
Yes.
Irish, is he?
Well done, Hilda.
I don't like Irishmen. They have shifty eyes and all.
Maud, is there anybody you do like?
I like Dame Hilda.
Oh, thank you, dear. I don't have shifty eyes, then.
You've got kind eyes. I've always said Dame Hilda has kind eyes.
And what about the doctor?
I think I'll go make a cup of tea.
And how long will it be before you finish writing the play, then?
Well, given no interruptions, I think I can complete it by the weekend. In fact, I thought of having our first play reading evening here next Saturday.
Excellent. Do you want me to contact the National Theatre and ask them all along?
I don't think so, Hilda. We wouldn't have enough cups and saucers to go round, especially if Maud's washing up.
Yes, point taken. Well, I'll just invite Sir Lawrence then.
Right then, well, are we all well met, as Shakespeare said? Has everyone got a script? Vicar?
Yes, Sylvanie, yes. I'm terribly excited at being given such an important part.
Miss Brimley, do you mind sharing a script with Maud?
Oh, not at all, Hilda. What is life if not for sharing? Like radishes and truck.
Yes, indeed. Now, Maud, you know which part you're playing?
Yes.
And you're sure you'll be able to cope with the accent?
Yes.
So, with no problems?
Only one. I've left me glasses at home.
Oh, dear.
Look, do the best you can, Maud. We must make a start or we'll never get through it.
I'm only trying to help you.
I'm terribly excited, you know.
So you keep saying, Donald.
Right, well, let me set the scene for you. The time is 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, begging your pardon, Doctor, but it can't be much after half past one.
No, Maud, no. She means the action of the play takes place at 9 o'clock at night. Oh.
Thank you, Hilda. The scene is the waiting room of a lonely railway station.
Yes.
Huddled round the stove are our six characters, all stranded there for the night.
Yes.
Slowly the waiting room door opens, and in comes Seamus O'Shaughnessy. He, of course, with the Irish... Hilda, have you got a summer cake?
No, dear.
Then why on earth are you making that revolting noise?
Sound effects, dear.
But I don't need the sound of somebody being ill.
No, it was supposed to be the creaking door. You see, you said, slowly the waiting room door opens. So I thought it would add to the drama if I did a creaking door.
Yes. And very good it was too, Hilda.
Oh, yes, excellent.
I distinctly felt a chill run up my spine.
Yes, well, this door doesn't creak.
It must do, dear. All railway station doors creak.
Well, this one doesn't, because Seamus O'Shaughnessy has oiled it personally every day for the last 60 years.
And does this come out in the play?
Oh, Hilda, do drop the subject.
Well, I'm only trying to be constructive.
Good. Now, where was I?
Oiling a door.
Right. Seamus staggers into the room just as the London Express hurtles through the station.
Diddly-push, diddly-push, diddly-dee, diddly-dee, diddly-dee,
diddly-dee, diddly-dee, diddly-dee, Hilda, what are you doing?
You said the London Express hurtle through the station.
Well, what has that got to do with tiddly push?
Sound effects again, dear. I was hurtling through the station.
And very effective again, Hilda. I felt yet another chill run up my spine.
Yes, I must admit that I was similarly affected.
What about you, Maud?
Well, I thought you were singing, Dame Hilda.
Look, I do not want sound effects in my play, right? Seamus O'Shaughnessy speaks.
Donald, that's you, dear.
What? Oh, yes, indeed. I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. Yes, I was carried away by your tiddly push, Hilda. Yes, most effective. Right, here we go again. Well, now, look here, begorra. What is it we have in the waiting room, to be sure of me jabber?
Donald?
Yes, Hilda?
I don't quite know how to put this, but Seamus O'Shaughnessy is Irish.
Well, yes, I know. Well, what do you think? I've been practising.
Oh, I could tell. But you see, dear, that was Welsh.
Was it?
Yes, I would put the accent somewhere between Pontypool and Pontefract.
That is quite incredible. I've always used that accent for my Irish characters. I'm afraid it's the only one I can do.
Not really, Donald.
Oh, yes, I forgot. I do a very good Eskimo.
I wouldn't bother, Donald. You see, I don't think you'll find many Eskimo station masters in this country.
No. This is quite ridiculous.
I know, dear. It would seem you'll have to do a rewrite of the play. Shall we meet again next week when you've done it, or shall we sing a song instead?
We are not singing a song, Hilda. We shall read this play to the bitter end.
I was afraid of that.
A quick alteration. Taffy Evans, the Welsh station master, enters the waiting room.
That's clever, dear.
Off you go, Donald.
Yes. Well, now, look here, begorra. What is it we have here in the waiting room?
Land of my fathers, cum ronda aberystwyth land, no, and Megan Lloyd George.
I don't seem to see that in the script, Miss Brimley.
I'm sorry, Hilda. I was quite carried away by Donald's beautiful accent.
Evanny, are you sure you wouldn't rather sing a song?
I am quite sure. May we carry on? You have the next line, Maud. Maud? Wake up, Maud.
Oh, sorry, Doctor. Do you want me to make some tea?
We want the next line, Maud. Klaus Gerber, the German detective.
I'm not happy playing a fella. Especially a German fella.
It is important to the play that the detective be German.
Well, I shall have to play the part then.
I can, of course, do a very good German accent.
Hilda, you're already playing two characters.
Well, that's the sort of thing that happens when you're multi-talented.
Well, what's Maud going to do?
Well, I suggest you write a special part for someone who's lost her glasses and doesn't like Germans.
Come along, Donald. Give me the line there. Kill me.
Well, now, look at all, Bazara. What is it we have here in the waiting room?
We huddled in the waiting room and we are trying to warm keep. What time the next train is, yeah?
Hilda, the line is nothing like that.
I know, dear, I've done a quick rewrite. You see, I know the way these Germans speak, and you haven't got it quite right. You see, all right, carry on, Donald.
By the beard of St. Patrick, I have bad news for you, Begara and Bejeebus. There are no more trains tonight at all, at all.
What is it? There is no trains are at all, at all. If not goodies, I will report. What your name is, please?
My name is Tuffy Evans, from Tipperary.
I'd forgotten about the alterations, Donald. Will you change that to Colwyn Bay?
What? Oh, yes. Yes, yes, of course, yes. My name is Colwyn Bay, from Tipperary.
No, Donald, you've got it the wrong way around.
Do you know, Dame Hilda, I ain't been to Colwyn Bay for 25 years.
Well, why don't you make up for it and go now?
I still think we'd be much better singing a song.
Ebony, I wonder if I might make a slight observation.
I suppose so.
Does this play have a plot?
Oh, it should have, in the cemetery.
After what you've done to it, I'm surprised it has anything at all.
We're only trying to be constructive, dear. And if you keep interrupting, we're not going to get anywhere. I mean, Donald was just warming up, weren't you, Donald?
Oh, yes, indeed, yes. I think I've got this Irish accent pretty well off now, Hilda.
Yes, and I'm certainly doing well with my German character, so let's continue with our dialogue.
Right, yes, yes. My name is Tuffy Evans from Colwyn Bay, where the mountains of Mourne sweep down to the sea.
Do we have all night here to stay, ya, mein Herr?
I said good, aren't I?
Oh, what on earth are you doing, Maud? It's Miss Primley who's supposed to scream in my play.
Oh, it's nothing to do with your play, Doctor. I got cramp in me legs.
Bill, you must not awkward sit. You have one leg, the other one under, yucky da.
I don't think I'm capable of screaming.
You could if you sat with one leg, the other one under.
I think I could scream if that would help.
Well, it all depends if you scream with an Irish accent or a Welsh one.
It doesn't really matter.
Of course it does, Ebony. We don't want your play ruined.
Hilda, it doesn't matter because we're going to sing a song instead.
Now, that's the best suggestion of the day. And I've already set the music out for us. 3 hours ago. And you know the one I'd like to go over, don't you? That lovely duet from the second act of Radigore.
Oh, yeah.
He's a grateful tree. When the tempest gets along, little heeded she, the needed she to call, for she dreaded not its fall. She was happy in the bark of a grateful tree. Sing hey, lack a day. Sing hey, lack a day. Let the tears fall free for the pretty little flaw and the great oak tree. Sing hey, let the day. She found that he was fickle, was that great oak tree. She was in a pretty pickle, and she well might be. But his gallantries one meekle, for death followed with his sequel, and her tears began to trickle for her grateful tweet. Sing, hey, let her dance. Sing, hey, let her dance. Let the tears fall free for the pretty bit of floor and the great oak tree. Sing, hey, let her dance. Sing, hey. Sitting in the tree, never did that great old tree. But I've neither rich nor care, and so why should he? But for fate of fortune sever, because to my endeavor, I forever and forever with my great old tree. Sing, hey,
September 1979, and it's the last in this short series of The Enchanting World of Hinge and Brack.